For Lincoln and James, we're celebrating transitions. So I want to ask a question, and Lincoln, if you'd be willing to run the microphone around if people raise their hands, that would be lovely. So who is your all-round role model and why? Someone you look up to as a good person, someone who challenges you to be the best version of yourself. So anybody can answer that question.
Hi. I'm Melissa. I would say the first person that I look up to the most would be my grandmother, and then Jean.
Yay, thank you.
My dad.
Marianne says her dad. They're going to make you run all over the place, Lincoln. Thank you. Thank you, Lincoln.
This is great. I have to say, well, I don't have to say, but I'm going to say my wife. So, yeah.
Thank you. No remuneration was received for that remark.
This is Tammy, and I'm going to follow all the instructions. So my little sister, Shelley, is my role model. And the reason is because she always puts herself out there for people in need. No matter what she's doing, no matter how she feels, she's always there for everybody around her.
Thanks, Tammy.
This is Susan, and my role model is my mom. Hmm.
This is Mary Yuleberry. You didn't say if they were alive or dead, but this person is no longer with us. It would be Mother Teresa, mm-hmm. and everybody knows why.
Mm-hmm. Anne, did you have your hand up?
I'm Anne. I have a friend in Florida, and she's my role model because she isn't afraid to say or do what's right, even when it's unpopular. She's very quiet and very centered, and I admire that.
Thank you. Anybody else have a role model they want to share? Thank you, Lincoln. Oh, on Zoom? Lincoln can't be two places at once, hold on. Yes, you're welcome to say it if you're on Zoom.
I would also say my role model was always my grandmother.
Joanne, and she's no longer. And I think Bob put something in the chat.
Bob says Rachel Maddow, because of her respect for honesty and the truth and work to understand the history which gives us today.
Thank you.
And Amy says St. Francis.
Thank you. We appreciate you, and I'm glad that Marie said check the Zoom people. So in St. Paul's letter to the people of Ephesus that Liza read, he challenges the disciples there to hold Jesus Christ as their role model. And you heard, as I was proclaiming that for Ben, what that means in terms of kind heart and no violence. And so Jesus as our role model we'll consider today, because Jesus said, I'm the living bread. And when you're down and out, as Liza read, as Elijah was in the reading, you need living bread to sustain you and to give you strength for the challenges of life and discipleship. So who or what is the living bread? So I'd ask if the Tree Heel kids are comfortable to come up in the front row. I just want to show you something real quick and talk to you, just because I don't know if you can see me or not. So our ancestors in the faith, and that's like before Jesus was born, that's like 1,000 to 500 years before Jesus. Yeah, you can just sit right there. Thank you. Because I can't walk around with this around my neck, but at least you can hear me. Thanks, Liza. I appreciate that. They saw the Word of God as the Torah. And I don't have a Torah. But a Torah was kind of like this. It was a big scroll. And all of the Word of God that they knew to that time was written on the Torah by hand. And if anybody made a mistake, they had to start all over. So if you were going to find something in the scripture that was the Torah, you'd have to roll it like this till you found what you wanted to read. And then you'd find another passage by moving it again like this. And it was the most sacred thing because this was the Word of God, the history of their people and their relationship with God. So they would stand up and proclaim from this like we proclaim from the Bible. So Torah, right? So remember that. That was their Word of God. That was their bread that they chewed on. This word that was part of Scripture was called their living bread. And so, when they went to the synagogue, and there were synagogues in most of the towns, they went there to listen to that instruction and to be fed with the Word of God. The temple was only in Jerusalem, and so you went there to bring your gifts and to honor God in that way. So one was for instruction, and one was to bring gifts and offerings to honor God. So the word was passed down from generation to generation, just like our Bible is today. So Jesus, when is just this normal guy in their community, and so when he comes forward, you know that he's played with your cousins, and he says, "I am the living bread." And they said, "What?" Because the living bread is this Torah, this Word of God. And he said, "I am living bread in the flesh, not written on a scroll, but alive, and I'm going to reveal God to you, Abba, Amma, God. And we're going to fulfill the law that's written in the Torah and more. So let me show you," Jesus says. "I want you to watch what I do, and I want you to see what I say." So Jesus, in a couple weeks ago, we heard he fed 5,000 tummies of the men. So that means probably 15,000 to 20,000 tummies with two fish and five loaves. Two fish, five loaves. That's all he had. That's all the young boy gave him. And he broke it and broke it and broke it and broke it. And it fed 20,000 people. Is that not a miracle? Is that not amazing? And people were like, "Yeah, so what else can you do?" I'm serious. We need more proof. So in our tradition, if a human being came forward into this church and stood up here and said, "I'm Jesus returned. I am the Savior and I'm here." Do you think we'd all go, "Got it?" Or do you think we'd have some suspicions, perhaps? Perhaps we'd say, "I don't think so. Who are you?" And just like they said, "You know, I know your mom, that's Mary. I know your dad, that's Joseph." We'd probably say, "So we've seen you around. We don't think that's you." And so he was rocking the boat in a really big way. But he said, "Watch me and listen to me." So what did Jesus do? He healed. He touched people with compassion. He was forgiving. He was kind, nonviolent. Told people that if somebody strike you on one side of the face, turn your cheek and let them strike the other one. He was a servant, a peacemaker. He lifted up the lowly and the oppressed and the sick. He didn't seek honor or position or power. He included everyone, especially old enemies or someone who was other. So did the disciples know what he meant when he said living bread? Not really. Did the people who ate? Not really. Did the religious authorities know what he meant? They weren't sure, but their faith was based on the law, and Jesus' words and action was based on love. So they knew that Jesus could rock their world pretty big. So Jesus is our role model. So we need to ask ourselves, is what I'm going to do bring unity or division? Is it going to bring love or hate? Jesus is here among us in the word that we proclaimed and at this table. And we know that in the breaking of the bread, Jesus is there. So this bread that we eat from the table isn't ordinary bread. It becomes, when we eat it, we become part of that. So when all of you come forward to communion, we become part of the body of Christ. So we've stepped forward with the word and with the meal to become part of the body of Christ. So that's a radical act when you come in those doors. It's a radical thing to do, to say, I want to be part of the body of Christ. So the first word, living bread, we chewed on was from the scripture. And we have a Bible. Whoa, don't hang myself. There we go. Sorry, I didn't mean to scare you. A Bible to present to James, because we present a Bible when you're going into sixth grade. So James, if you come forward. So this is the Bible that we use for Bible studies here, and it has an inscription in it that you can read later. And going into sixth grade is a big deal. And it's part of, you'll be part of our younger youth group too. And so we give that to you with much love. Turn and face the people while they cheer for you. Yay! And so when you come to youth group, you'll bring that with you, okay? Yeah. So that's the word of God, the living bread that's in there, and we hand it to you. Yay! Yay, yay, yay. Lincoln. This would be holy chopsticks. So Lincoln, tell people where you're headed. You can stand here and I'll share the microphone. That would...
I'm going to Arizona State University for college. No.
On Thursday. And so I figured these were easy to pack. And they're about taking it one bite at a time. And they're sacred. And we love you. Yay. You can stay here for one more minute. And these are holy stress balls. So you may pick one that you like. And that's to remind you that you're part of the body of Christ here. And when you're stressed, squeeze that. So each of you can come up and pick a holy stress ball. And if you're a teacher, you can too. Come on, Liza, come get a stress ball. Not you.
I live with you. I need a stress ball.
Come on, James, Dorian. Actually, anybody who wants a holy stress ball can come and get one, or we can pass them out. So they're not to throw at your siblings or your parents. Come on. Or your spouse. Will you wander that back? Yes. Thank you. There you go.
What color?
All right. There you go. So the holy stress ball is to remind you you're part of the body of Christ. There you go. and to give you some joy. You can't not look at that face and not smile, you know? So when you get stressed, as you might, then have a holy stress ball. So with every transition in terms of school and parents, everybody's going back to school. The ones that are going back to school and Lincoln going off to college and your firstborn going off to college. Cabrini's going to be here next week with Kiki, and that's just a hard thing sometimes. On the one hand, you want to say, go, have fun. On the other, it's like, please don't go. So we're going to say a blessing for all of this in a minute. So what people, our students, are most excited about are also sometimes they're most nervous about. So they're most excited about making new friends. So whether they're going off to college or being in classes this year, they're excited about making new friends and nervous about the new classes that are coming. They're nervous about tests and about homework. They're excited about being more independent. And they're nervous about not having quite as much family support. They're excited about being in a new place, a new class. They're nervous about lunch. They're nervous about hard classes. But I heard the friends and the friends and the friends, and this is Body of Christ, right? So I'm just going to pray a prayer for our students and teachers. So if you could stand if you're a student or a teacher. Holy God, we ask your blessing on all of these students and all the teachers, and some of them aren't here today. We just ask you to give them peace as they go about this transition into a new year of school. We give parents a sense of support and love and how much rope to give and how much rope not to give. And we give teachers support to be what their kids need, but also to take care of themselves. And so God, we just ask you to bless them in this new adventure, all of them, and to know that you and we are with them. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yay, thank you. I don't know if there's something significant about this, but my watch stopped at 20 after 5, so. Okay. If James and Ben and Tori Ann could come forward, that would be great. Let us pray to the living bread of life. Our response is, stay with us, O God.
For those who feel down with discouragement or anxiety, that we may become to them Christ's heart and hands and feet, let us pray.
Stay with us, O God.
For this present moment, with all our senses, may we recognize the presence of God in our midst, however disguised. For those returning to school, that we may treat others as we want to be treated, with love and acceptance, let us pray.
Stay with us, O God.
For the poor and the vulnerable, for the loners and those who don't fit in, that they may encounter people of faith who inspire them and encourage them to love or to believe in their valuable and the love of God and the goodness of people, let us pray.
Thank you.
Please offer the prayers of your heart, first on Zoom and then in the sanctuary.
sanctuary.
This is Maureen. I would like two prayers. One of thanksgiving. My cousin was released from the hospital. She's in rehab for as long as it takes, but at least she's out of the hospital. And the second is for Brian Poling, who is a very dear friend of my daughter's. He ended up in the hospital. They do not know what is wrong with him. He's been in intensive care since we were in Omaha. And his kidneys, he's on dialysis because his kidneys are, I mean, it's just a mess. So if everyone will pray that they can figure out what is wrong with him and then can find something that will help him. For this we pray.
This is Nan. I'd like to say a prayer for the soul of Tom Clark, who died this morning, and for his wife and son.
We pray.
Stay with us, O God.
I'd like to ask for, this is Linda, and I'd like to ask for prayers for Christy as she begins her third year of classes this weekend, of intense classes, and just ask that the Holy Spirit surround her with God's love. For this I pray.
Stay with us, O God.
This is Frank. I ask for prayers for my nephew Michael, who's been admitted 6 months in a psych ward in Wisconsin. For this we pray.
Stay with us.
This is Kate. I would like to ask for prayers for my big upcoming trip with my sister across the western states. This time I'm a little nervous about making the trip, so I ask that I don't kill anybody and they don't kill me, and that we have a safe trip.
We pray.
Stay with us.
And I'd like to pray a prayer of thanksgiving that Ralph's spouse, Aradio, passed his citizenship test. We pray. Stay with us, O God.
Hi, it's Melissa. I would like to say a prayer for our really good friend, Morgan. She is embarking on a new position with a different company, and so just lots of prayers for her, lots of well wishes, so she can take on this world by storm.
Yeah. We pray. Stay with us, O God. Jesus, draw us to your bread of strength, that our hearts may be compassionate, our love warm and deep, and our service faithful and humble, for you are our God forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And I would invite somebody to turn on the fans in the back of the church so that you're getting some air coming this way. As we gather around Jesus' table, we affirm our peace with ourselves and one another. Jesus, you said to your apostles, I leave you peace, my peace I give you. Look not on our failings, but on the faith of your church, and grant us the peace and unity of your kingdom, where you live forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Also with you.
Let us offer each other a sign of Christ's peace.
Oh my.